As we talk through what the Proverbs will speak to us concerning alcohol, we're not here to make any other arguments but this, that wisdom is on the side of abstinence. Wisdom is on the side of never partaking of alcohol. And really, we'll be able to handle this from the Scriptures and be able to understand this from the Scriptures. But if we just think about it and we were to talk to people in the world, if they're being honest with the topic of alcohol, they would also say that worldly wisdom speaks to the fact of staying away from alcohol. A couple of things pertaining to that. One is the fact that I often remind my children of, and that is that every alcoholic in the world has one thing in common. They all took their first drink. And so the pathway unto assuring yourself that your home will not be broken because of your addiction to alcohol, the one sure way to assure yourself of that is never take of the first drink. To assure yourself the fact that you'll never have to live with regret of driving under the influence and taking someone's life because of that, or even taking your life, the way to assure that is don't take the first drink. Now it's argued. The world portrays it as good, and even in Solomon's day, the world portrayed it as good. We need a break from the world. And that's what alcohol will do for you. It'll just give you that break that you deserve and that you need. Chris Stapleton, he's a country music artist, and if you research his life, as far as the partaking side of alcohol, he's much more familiar with alcohol than I am. There's stories that you can read on him. He has a way with writing lyrics, and he says this and writes this through experience concerning alcohol, that it's a liar. So he took the pathway, and I argued last week that to obtain wisdom, you do not have to go down and walk down the pathway of wrong to arrive at the conclusion that something indeed is wrong. See, I've arrived at the same conclusion that Chris Stapleton has arrived at, and I've never partaken of the substance. One, it's a liar, but I already knew that because my Lord has made it clear that I understand that alcohol is a liar. And then he goes on to say in that same line, that helps to hide me from my pain. Why has alcohol been lying to Mr. Stapleton? Concerning his pain and alcohol, what did the world tell him it would do? It would take away the pain. It would erase the pain. That song's Whiskey and You. And as you listen to that song, what you realize is he has tried to hide so many of life's pains with alcohol, all to realize that when he sobered up, what was still there? His problems. And therefore, his conclusion after partaking and partaking is this: alcohol is a liar. But I would say to Mr. Stapleton that ages ago, the wisdom that created you and created this universe said unto you, alcohol is a liar. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. In verse 19, speaking of wisdom and the wisdom that we will focus on this evening, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down to the dew. And it was the wisdom of old that would say unto you, What the world says concerning alcohol is a lie. And the ask that Solomon has for his son and the plea that he has for his son is this in verse 21. Do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and an adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. There is wisdom, and there is eternal wisdom from this idea of staying away from alcohol. If you play with fire, which is the analogy that Leon had for us concerning sexual immorality, but the same is true as we think about alcohol. If you play with fire, you will get burned. And again, that is wisdom that is widely accepted and understood. But what the world wants us to do is to flirt with alcohol and just a little bit, and there's times when it's good and times when it's acceptable. If you play with fire, you'll get burned. And then let's go back to this, and we'll find this in the scriptures as well, but alcohol is a liar. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker. It'll make you look bad. All of that you're afraid of, that your friends would ever do to you and mock you and make fun of you, you know what wine will do? It'll mock you. Meaning, it will make you look like a fool. Strong drink is a brawler. You're now more contentious and argumentative than you ordinarily would be. And that brings about a whole another host of issues in your life. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is a brawler. And here is the argument for this evening. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Make whatever argument that you want to make concerning alcohol. And here's what I'm going to come back to. I'm going to come back to the wisdom of old. The wisdom that created this world, and say this: whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Let's continue on the thoughts of the fact that there are just certain people who do not need to be mixed in this concept of alcohol and being a part of alcohol. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And what I believe we have here for us is Solomon rewriting words that his mother would have spoken to him over and over and over again. Words that he had heard from his mother. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 2. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? I love how what she does here in verse 2 is just kind of waking him up and shaking him so that he may understand who he is. Oftentimes we're asked as we leave this building, we'll say, remember who you are. And as she sees what he's doing, that's what she's wanting him to do, is recognize who you are. You're the son of my vows. And she says in verse 3, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Don't waste time with certain women. But also this in verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. It is not for kings who have so much on their plate. It is not for kings who have so many decisions to make. It is not for kings who have so much on their shoulders to partake of drink. She would write the message to her son, this is not wise. Remember who you are. And so as I think about alcohol and trying to get our mindset in the proper place concerning alcohol, I think we need to remind ourselves of this. Remember who you are. just as his mother would often remind him of who he was. And so as you make the decision to partake or to not, who are you? Who are you? And what are you doing? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We see the imagery painted here of who we are. And Peter outlines this not just as it relates to partaking of alcohol, but really for walking the life and walking the walk that we need to walk. And this is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for you. Who are you? And why would you ever want a substance to be in your body that would cause you to forget the inheritance that is reserved for you, or to forget what God Almighty has done for you? Verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We're a different type of people. There is so much work that has been done to sanctify us, set us apart, to throw it all away with this concept that we can fit in, A, or B, that you can somehow hide from your troubles. Let's look in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Now, what were the words said to Solomon about his mind and why his mind did not need to be consumed with alcohol? Because he had a lot on his plate. He had things to do. Well, what does Peter say here to the Christian? You need to prepare your mind for action. There are things that you need to be doing, and you need to be busy doing, and while doing those, and being sober-minded. For the task that is before you, Peter says this. You need to be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. As He is set apart, you too be set apart. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to partake of strong drink. That's not who you are. That doesn't need to be a part of who you are. Verse 17, and if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. So I would say to you, as you consider what your mindset will be as it relates to alcohol, is remember who you are. Remember the work that you have before you and the actions that are set before you, and ask yourself this: can you do that and be intoxicated? Can you accomplish what is before you and be drunk? No, we have to be sober-minded in accomplishing that. Let's continue with some of the words that Peter has in chapter 2. So put away all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're different. And really, the only argument you could have to partake would be that you might fit in and you might be like others. But Peter, as he asks you to consider your walk, he says this: you've been set apart. You are precious. A holy priesthood. As we're at the back of the Bible, let's continue to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 to further paint this picture of who we really are. Revelation 1, verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness of the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom priests. To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. A kingdom of priests. A kingdom of set apart. A group of rulers with tasks before them. Need not be intoxicated. We need to heed to the wisdom that was given to Solomon as it would pertain to his reign as king. Don't mix with that. You're better than that. And finally, for this section, let's look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll be in verse 18. Very simple admonition here in verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a contrast there. You can do one or the other, right? And as you think about navigating through this life, and one of the selling points, so to speak, of wine is as Mr. Stapleton was led to believe, it'll hide you from your pain and your troubles. What did he find out? That was a lie. How do we get through our troubles and the struggles that we have? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And as I think about my journey of faith and trying to become who I am or who I need to be, set apart, precious, and holy, I will tell you that it is a difficult task to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have said this before in my response to why I do not drink. Simply put, I have a hard enough time serving my Lord sober. May God have mercy on me if I tried to attempt it intoxicated. And I have a duty that is before me to live up to that which He has called me to be filled with the Spirit, and nothing else needs to interfere with me being filled with the Spirit of God. And may we allow the Spirit of God to fill us. May we allow it to be the answer to all of life's troubles that would be there and not go to drink or any other form of intoxication to escape what the world puts upon us, because that is exactly what Peter says God has offered us, which is an escape from the world. Set apart and holy, a sanctified. Jesus would say, a royal priesthood. And so that is who we are. And as we consider our reaction to alcohol, we need to remember who we are. Let's turn back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. There will be more wisdom concerning that of partaking in alcohol. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. Not only is the admonition and the way of wisdom to not be intoxicated yourself, but what's the admonition here of those who would be wise? Do not be among drunkards. Because here's the argument that the world would tell you. You know, it's okay to be there, and it's okay to be at the party. What? As long as you're not partaking yourself, then it's okay. That's a lie. What wisdom would say is, do not even be around drunkards. That is no place to be. I presume that everybody acts different when they're drunk. One's overly happy and one's overly mad and angry and different things. But I will tell you, they do things that they would not ordinarily do. And why would you want to be among a group of people who are doing things they wouldn't ordinarily do? Again, it's not oftentimes fun to be around even sober people. I couldn't imagine wanting to be around drunk people. But again, as you think about the argument that the world gives is, they say, you can be there, what? As long as you don't partake. Wisdom says, be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. You will eventually end up on their pathway. It is almost inevitable, is that of the wisdom literature. Don't even mix with those people. Verse 29 of 23 in Proverbs. This is what it eventually looks like for those who choose to partake and to partake regularly. There's just a pathway. There's a direction. There's a place that they are headed. Verse 29 says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Now, that is not what they sell in the commercials. That's not what anybody's friends are telling them concerning wine. It's liberating. We talked about this morning in the Bible class. Wine's liberating. Wisdom says it brings you woe, sorrow, strife, complaining, wounds without cause. And those can be all emotional wounds, and those can be physical wounds, brawls that happen that you really don't even know what started them, and you have wounds now. But also emotional heartache that comes from being among those in drinking parties and redness of eyes. It is those who tarry long over wine, verse 30, those who go to try mixed wine. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. For me, that's the commercials today. They only show the quote-unquote good side of alcohol, but I would even argue, you got smiling people enjoying a good time. You can do that without alcohol. So what they do is set up a good time, and then they place the alcohol there. I've had numerous times that were very, very enjoyable, and they were absent of alcohol. But that's what they'll do, is they will try to sell you this concept of you can't have a good time unless what? There's alcohol involved. So the proverb writer would say, if you're drawn to that and you start to believe that lie, he says this, do not look at wine when it is red. When it is appealing to you, don't look at it. Turn away. When it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly, when you have those thoughts, flee from them. Because of verse 32 is going to tell us what we already know from wisdom, which is Satan's a liar. And then also we found out this evening that wine is a liar. And so as it sparkles in the cup, it tells you that is something good and to be desired, and it will be smooth. But in the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. In the end, it's painful. In the end, it causes heartache. Alcohol is much like any other sin that we participate in. It generally takes you further than you intended to go. It keeps you longer than you intended to stay, and it costs you more than you thought you'd ever pay. That's alcohol. Verse 33, your eyes will see strange things and your heart utter perverse things. You'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies in the top of the mast. You'll be unsettled. As you think of that description in verse 34, that would be the opposite of what we've been called to be as Christians. That's the opposite of the picture that was painted for us by the Apostle Peter in his writings. Verse 35, they struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. You know, that's interesting where we find this man in verse 35. Alcohol has caused him pain, right? I say that because they say, they struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. He's lying. In the moment, he didn't feel it, but he's waking up and he's feeling the pain, right? He's waking up and feeling the pain of what's there. He has wounds without cause, verse 29. And now, though, even though it's caused him heartache and issue, what does he say when he wakes up in the morning? I must have another drink. I wonder how that started. I wonder what got him there. Obviously, we know this. He arrived there because he said yes. That's why, again, if you want my argument, and if you want to understand what is aligns with wisdom most closely, it would be this. Say no. Do not partake of your first drink. But so for this man, where did it start? I would argue it starts in verse 20. Be not among drunkards. He chose that he would be among drunkards. He would hang around people who appreciated alcohol and saw it as good. And now where does he find himself? When shall I awake? When shall I sober up? Because when I sober up, what's next? I must have another drink. He at this point has regretted the day that he chose to partake, and also the day in which he chose to have company and fellowship with drunkards. And so the wisdom literature tells us not only it is not wise to partake, it is also not wise to be among those who would partake. The New Testament would back that up. Let's go back to Peter's writings in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, we understand how Peter began his epistle and began the concepts and ideas that he would have for those. He wants them to know they're set apart, they're holy. Similar to the mindset that we needed Solomon to have. You're king. Don't partake. 1 Peter chapter 4, after Peter has told us who we are, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness. Peter says, that is of your former life. That is the old man to be caught up in drunkenness. That should have been put away when you put on Christ Jesus. He says those who are of the way and drunkenness cannot mix. Orgies, drinking parties. Peter, you've already covered drinking. What Peter says is there's two levels here. There's drunkenness, which it would be the person who awakes and says, let me find another drink, and find another drink, and they drink. But then there's drinking parties. And what Peter says there is, the time has passed to be involved in those gatherings that would say, hey, let's go grab a drink. That's a drinking party. That is time set aside to partake. What Peter says is, the time has passed to be involved in that. And I would say, remember who you are and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And what's never been started over a drinking party is a good Bible study. Somebody's going to come here and tell me they have church at a bar. Never has a good Bible study that someone is insisting on rightly dividing the Word of God, never has that started at a drinking party. And the time of being involved in that has passed and is of your former life and lawlessness and idolatry. Verse 4 says they start picking up on who you really are. Because what Peter did when he opened up his writings to us is he says, really, he says, y'all are strange. Y'all are different. Y'all are different. So verse 4, he says, after you've said no to drunkenness and drinking parties, with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But it is better to be maligned by the world than to be maligned by Jesus Christ. And what he says is, if you will put away that former way of life, you can be his, and it will be granted unto your sanctification. And so therefore, Peter makes it clear that those of the kingdom and those who have been set apart have nothing to do with alcohol. He leaves no room for alcohol to be a part of the called out life. The two just, they don't mix. Let's turn back to the Proverbs in chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to end our thoughts on this. Just strictly reminding ourselves of what wisdom is all about. And I really don't think there's much wisdom that could be brought forth, even from the world, speaking to alcohol. There's too many mothers living lives without children that died at the hands of a drunk driver. There's too many women who are having to raise children on their own because of a night that they had with a man in drunkenness, and now they're single moms. There's countless and countless stories to tell where alcohol has ruined situations to where you would be a fool to try to argue that it is good and there is a place for it. Better wisdom would say this: do not get drunk with wine. Do not be around those who get drunk with wine. And do not partake of it. It is not for you, O kings and queens. It is not for you. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10. Hear my son and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. The wisdom that we've talked about this evening is this, that the proverb writer here in verse 13 is saying to keep hold of and to guard, understanding that this is your life. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not step foot on that path. Again, bring to me any argument you want, but wisdom would say this: do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Separate yourself from that. Let's continue in verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 4. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive, or pay close attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Are you in need of healing? Are you in need of a life that's separate from the world and looks different than that which is being sold? Walk in the paths of wisdom. And as it pertains to alcohol, the paths of wisdom would say this: abstain. Do not allow it to be a part of your life. This evening, as you examine wisdom and what wisdom is all about, we opened this evening and we talked about the concept that this wisdom that we're considering and we've been considering for this entire month is from the beginning. And it was through wisdom that the world was formed. And therefore, I take great confidence when I hold fast to the wisdom literature and knowing this, that my Creator saw to it that I would be able to read it and understand it, and it could be a blessing to my life. So too, I take comfort when I proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know this, that it was before the foundation of the world that our God had a great plan that would save all of mankind and reconcile mankind to Himself. That we should all be without spot, without blemish in Christ Jesus. If you've yet rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the plan to render that obedience has not changed and it's been there from the beginning of time. Understand who God is. Understand who God is through His Word. And through His Word, you will come to know a Savior who died for you and is willing to wash away your sins if you will submit to Him, be buried with Him in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. If in any way you need to change your life, I pray that you would do so as together we stand and as we sing.